Hi, Bill. I just thought I'd drop you and Brian a quick note to say thank you so much for your great podcasts. Being new to this whole world of online resources, I have listened to nearly a dozen of yours in just 2 days, and they have so far been the best coaching and real advice and training I have found online. I've been in sales for most of my adult life, and like most, I fell into it. I'm now a stylist for Stella and Dot, and after a career break to have a family, refound my career back into sales. So finding an online resource that is real and can actually provide clarity makes a refreshing change. So thank you from England, or Northern Europe if that's easier. Naz Lewis.
Back at the Advanced Selling Podcast, this is Bill Caskey.
Radio voice, I like that.
I did have an interesting thing the other day. I was communicating with a friend of mine, John Ogle, and a bunch of us were getting ready to go to a basketball game together. And I didn't know whether there was going to be five people in his big Suburban or six.
Okay.
And so we were talking back and forth, and I said, I'll email you when I find out from this one guy how many we're going to have. And So I sent him a note back on my cell phone. I said, John, we'll be able to go on Saturday. We'll drive your car, and we will have sex. And it said it autofilled to sex. And you know what? It's one of those things where you say, well, I know, John. I'll go ahead and just send it. And so he calls me back. What the hell is this sex thing? I said six.
That's going to be a fun basketball game, let me tell you.
John and I.
Wait a minute. Isn't this stadium the other direction? Oh, yeah, it is.
Sure it is.
Here we go. Anyway.
What's that hotel that you guys are always talking about?
Sybaris.
Yeah, Sybaris. You and your wife are always talking about
it. The
show is
going south fast.
Okay, Sybaris. Topic today.
Yeah, we're going to do a client spotlight. We've never really done this before. Mm-mm. And we were sitting here in the pre-show prep, as we always do for the first 6 hours of the show, debating on what to talk about. And we said, you know, we've got some really good stories from the field. So that's what this is. This is about stories from the field. I think we've got three. I've got a couple. You've got one. Mm-hmm. We're going to go through them with you, tell stories, brag on our clients a little bit for implementing things that we teach them when they actually work. We don't brag on the ones when they don't work.
No,
only the ones
we forget we even have clients then.
Yeah. And then just maybe have some commentary or some dialogue back and forth about those.
Yeah, good. Why don't you go first since you have
the
mass
good.
Of them.
And some of these are kind of hard. Or maybe I'm a bad storyteller. Maybe that's the problem. Sometimes they're hard to follow a little bit. So
I've got
a client who's in the advertising business. So people pay him money to advertise their business. He was working with an insurance agent in a small town in Indiana. And insurance companies often give agents co-op money. So the actual company they're hooked up with, so State Farm or Allstate, will give them co-op money to help them advertise. And they require certain parameters to pay or to give co-op money to this agent. This guy has been a customer of my client's for like 12 or 13 years, long time. Always does a very similar program, co-op money. Well, my client showed him a way to increase his reach and his exposure by doing a little bit bigger of a program. And the guy came back. He was really excited about it. He came back and just said, no, he's not going to do it. He's just going to stick to what he always did.
Hmm.
Okay. Now,
that's after a long sales cycle.
Yeah. Really good job by my client, you know, finding pain, showing opportunity and that sort of thing, positioning it well. And the guy said, no, thanks. I'm just going to stick to what I've always done after all this excitement. Confusing, right?
Mm-hmm.
Someone says, oh, I'm really excited about this. Then they go back to the old way. Well, My client did a great job. And here's the lesson in this deal. He reset the whole deal and went back and started over with this guy. And he said, let's scrap kind of what we've talked about so far. And let's go back and talk about, again, why we were doing it.
Did you give him that advice?
Point. He did it on his own. Okay. I mean, I've given him that advice over – I coached him for about 4.5 years. He did this on his own. He gets full credit here. And he said took him back through there, and he learned through this course of going back and revisiting the thing that because of the way this advertising program was structured, it didn't qualify for co-op money. So this guy was going to have to write a check out of his checkbook for it, and he just wasn't open to doing that. His business had taken a little turn for the worse. He didn't know that. He had some personal things going on, and there were a lot of reasons why he couldn't do this new deal and write. But my client didn't know this. All he had heard, again, was no.
Yeah.
So that is the lesson here, because what happened then is my client was then able to go, oh, now I understand better, went back to the board and did what we call deal engineering, and he worked out a way to structure the deal so that it accomplished both the task of better exposure and qualified for full co-op money, and it doubled from the original deal, and the agent doesn't have to pay money out of pocket.
Wow.
A full-on, just
everyone wins.
Everybody wins.
That's a win-win-win.
What's great about that, and this, if you're listening to this, you know that you've done this. We've all done this. It's real easy when you go through that process and you have something on the table and then someone says, no thanks, I'm not going to do that, but I'm still going to do something. You go, okay then, and I take the something.
Yeah.
Right? And just go ahead and take what I've always gotten and be okay with it. And or instead of resetting back to the beginning, I just talk about, well, why don't you want to take this one particular item or this thing? Because that wouldn't have qualified either. That wouldn't have helped him. He had to go back to the beginning to understand the qualification parameters and that sort of thing. So,
and probably understand why he was doing it in the first place. Because I think as deals drag on, you forget about the original pain that you have.
Yes.
Because it could have been, but even if a guy would have written a check for $500 and it would have put $500,000 in his pocket,
that's
why
right.
would he have not done that? But he forgot. He lost touch.
He lost touch with the pain. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So there are a lot of great lessons in there. Resetting is a great lesson. Deal engineering is a great lesson. And not being afraid to go back and actually do what with good intent, what you want to do, which is help this guy out.
That's great.
Which is where Deshaun went.
Good story.
What's his name?
Deshaun.
He's from Slovakia.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, good. Well, I had one yesterday, a company called Bessler Consulting that we're working with a little bit, and Jim Hunter and the boys and ladies up there. And one of the questions that we had on a webinar that we did was one of the fellows there said, you know, I've followed the process. We started about a year ago. They have some problems. We have a solution. We came to an agreement on exactly what it was we wanted to do next, and they just keep putting me off. I call 1 month. They say it's going to be a few weeks. He calls back. They say it's going to be a few weeks, and he's done this for an entire year. Now, they also are a client of theirs on other things, so they do sell them a little bit. But they don't sell him this new service.
Yeah.
And so he asked me the question of, well, what should I do now? At some point, you have to make a decision.
Yeah.
Do I keep doing the same thing, or do I reinvent?
Hmm.
And so
I'm supposed to tell
him. What were some of the options?
Options, yeah. Let's look at alternatives.
Keep doing what you're doing is
an
option.
This is good. That's always status quo. We like that. Status quo is an option. One option is to go to the other direction. So one option is close the file out and say, hey, you know, I feel like we've been kind of back and forth for a year, and it doesn't feel like we're moving any further. So let's just call it a day. I'll put this on the shelf, and if you want to reopen it, we can pick up where we left off. I just wanted to let you know that I was going to do that as a courtesy call.
And somehow acknowledging that I know we still have work over here in this
area,
absolutely. So you're not calling off the whole deal.
No, definitely not. Yeah, you're going to keep that work.
Okay, good.
Second thing would be to what we learned just from the previous message here, which was a bit of a reset, to say, you know what, we went down a path, and now we're just like hitting the tennis ball back and forth. Let's take everything off the table for a minute. Let's go back and have another conversation about why we started this in the first place. Pain changes, right? And over a year, for sure, things get different. That would be another option or alternative.
I like that. Sure. I didn't give him that one because I hadn't listened to the podcast yet.
Yeah, you should listen. Yeah, it's a great podcast. Yeah, it's complimentary, about 15 minutes. Yeah, a couple of the guys, they're moderately funny occasionally, and they come up with some good advice. I'm a big fan.
They actually listen to the podcast, guys at Bessler.
They do?
So,
okay,
so they will get this. I won't even have to call them.
No, they'll know. They'll listen. Hey, I heard my name on the podcast.
No, I like that reset. I think that I didn't have that on because I wasn't thinking about going back. I was thinking about from this point
moving
forward.
Yeah.
One of the questions I asked him was, at what point, it's been a year, and who's to say that that's too short or too long? The question is, how much longer are you willing to do it? I mean, is it 2 years? Is it 5 years? At some point, don't you reach a point where you say, you know what, this ain't going to happen?
You're right.
And maybe I would have probably done it before a year, but I wasn't there. So you have to ask yourself honestly, how much longer am I willing to hold out and continue status quo?
Yes.
And I think at some point you say, wait a minute, this is just not going to happen.
Yeah, that's very, very good.
I had another one, another coaching thing on that one, and that is, I think what you said, when you close the file, you do have to have a conversation with them. You can't just close it and go away. You have to have preferably a voice dialogue about that.
If you can, yeah.
If you can. But I also think that I said, do you know anybody else who is in that organization who might be above or around, maybe this person reports to, and say, and
that's
call
good.
Them up and say, look, here's what's happened. I'm going to bow out. I'm not mad. I just feel like it's not a priority anymore unless you give me a reason not to.
Yeah, good.
Because usually there's somebody in the decision process who maybe isn't as involved as they should be, and usually those people are at a higher level. I think you owe it to them to call
like
them
that.
And say, look, here's what's happened, and here's what I'm going to do. Are you okay with that?
I'm gonna do this unless you give me a reason not to.
Yeah.
That's a keeper. Keeper sentence.
Yeah, keeper.
$1 million idea. Everybody say $1 million idea. Pow! Isn't that what Brendan Burchard does, your boyfriend out in Oregon? Jealous. Inside
it is.
Joke. Anyway, it's part of the basketball game story.
No, it's not. I was thinking about that. No, it's not. Why was I thinking about that, actually?
There you go.
I was thinking about it in the context of I hope you don't bring it up, and you did. So. All right.
Can I go again?
Third one? Yep.
This is a habit of a high performer. I was on a coaching call just before we came in here. This is my friend Meredith, who is up in Elkhart. She's absolutely a fantastic salesperson, great human being, great high performer. And we were going around and chucking in our six-month business plans because we're in the middle of May, and this is the time we're starting to look at the end of the first 6 months and going, what's working, what's not, that sort of thing. And as we're going around the horn, she goes, you know, and she had a killer year last year. She's doing pretty good this year, not like last year, but really good. And she said, you know, I'm just kind of in a rut. I just don't have the energy or the desire to go out and make my calls like I used to. And I'm just kind of stuck right there. The lesson for me in that, and I told her this, I said, number one, here's a trait of high performers. They are very, very okay showing vulnerability, and they're very, very tuned in to how they are and where they are. Mm-hmm. Average performers will mask that always.
That's right.
You'll never hear an average performer say, I'm in a rut. They'll go, no, things are going good. Yeah, they've got a lot of activity going on and stuff like that. And you look at their results, and they're just like, right? You look at Meredith, and she's like, you know, no, I'm sucking wind right now. Yeah. And when she's doing great, she'll tell you, I'm doing great. When she's sucking wind, she'll say, I'm sucking wind. Then I referred her to a podcast we did a while back on how to get out of this, right? We did a podcast on how to get out of a rut. One of the things that we talked about today was embracing the rut, right? You've got to just breathe in it because that's the natural ebb and flow of life. Things go up and they go down, and your energy goes up and down. Yeah. And so just instead of fighting against it, embrace where you are. That's a good thing to do when you're in the rut. And then the second thing we talked about was how to give yourself energy. This is more tactical, and I've taught this the last couple of days. If you're doing email prospecting, and a lot of people do that in combination with another form of prospecting, be it connectors or actually physical cold calling, if you spend your mornings, you know, either early morning before everyone's up, and or first thing you do is 7:30, 8 o'clock, and just start to plant seeds out for that day to send emails to people, and then you're going to go out in your car and drive around. As you're driving around, people will start to respond to your emails, and it will typically give you energy. Energy will come up because someone's going to say yes. So if you're in the morning sending 10 to 15 emails out, hey, you know, you don't know me, maybe we can get together sometime, hey, I'm a connector, and I'm trying to like set appointments with people, I do that in the morning. Those responses come in through the day. So I get this energy throughout my day. It's like a thing that you set on fire in the morning, and it just kind of feeds you energy throughout the day. I think that's a really good thing to try and do. I think that's what Meredith's going to go do.
That's
to
good.
Help her out of this.
And I also think there's a whole level of, I don't know, training or coaching around all the non-business inputs. So I wonder, motivation, I think we think of motivation as some kind of an input. You know, just go do it. Just go do it.
Right.
But the problem is if I'm mentally not right, psychologically, physically, if I haven't worked out in 6 months, if I'm eating crappy food, if I'm not paying attention to my goals, if I'm not meditating, whatever those personal things are that you do that, like you say, give you motivation, I think we forget about that element too.
That's really good.
I mean, I was reading an article the other day that said, you know, if you want to have a great day, start off your day by lifting something.
Yeah.
And not a Starbucks. We're not talking lifting a Starbucks.
Not a mojito?
Not a mojito. Extra mocha.
I'm going to start lifting bloodies.
Bloody Marys. But lifting something heavy, a kettlebell, a weight or something, and it starts the blood flowing and it gets you in the groove. But I think there's a lot of things that we can be doing that help us with that motivation factor. I think people who are very highly ambitious naturally probably don't need that.
Yeah.
I'm not. I need that. I need something personally to get me started in the morning.
Very good.
Other than a Starbucks.
So what did you lift this morning, may
I lifted a 35-pound kettlebell.
Good. Mm-hmm. How far?
Lifted it above my head and ran 5 miles.
Did you really? It's good. How many laps is that around the lake?
It's one lap around my basement. Did I say 5 miles? Yeah, you lift a kettlebell and you walk around with it and put it above your head, and behind your back, and between your legs, and you just...
I love it.
It's a groove. Yeah.
I love it.
All right. Make sure you email us at listener@advancedsellingpodcast.com. We'll take questions. We haven't had a mailbag for a while, but we've got some
we're
starting to collect, and we've got some good stuff coming up.
And find us on the LinkedIn group, Advanced Selling Podcast LinkedIn group. We're getting a lot of good comments from people that are in it and people that aren't in it that also watch and say, there's some really good people that
want to
ask good questions.
It.
Yeah. So Advanced Selling Podcast LinkedIn group, we'd love to have you there. And we will talk to you next time
we're around. See you next time.
Bye.
Bye.
This podcast presented by Caskey, leaders in sales training and executive coaching. If you like today's podcast, share with your friends, family, and starving salespeople everywhere.